Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away.
Reiterating, 3-1, Bruins over Columbus tomorrow night.
Okay, we heard you.
Like, apologize to Lipschitz. You got a little sense of thinking.
Not taking shots,
just breaking balls.
Joe Murray's been texting me.
I'm sorry. I thought it was Lipschitz.
No, it's Murray now. I told you, you can't talk about those guys.
Boy, they get crazy. Especially
some publicity for the podcast.
Why is Zoe burying us? I'm like, he's not burying you guys. He starts texting me all about...
Who said that?
This is what he texted me.
Listen to this.
Why is at 10:17, because Zoe mentioned them in the first segment today. Zoe jokingly mentioned them, saying, you don't need the bankroll boys when you have Zoe.
When you have me,
right?
Predicted two straight.
Zoe predicted 4-1. He said, why is Zoe burying us? The last three games we bet because of the refs have gone 3-0. Scott Foster and Tony Brothers are dirty, and it's a fact. What's his beef? I'm like, what? We didn't talk about any of this. We have not talked about any of this. I got a button. This is where you get off. This is where it gets down a road that's dangerous.
It's so detailed.
I got a bunch of tweets saying he was talking smack, and we didn't think that, and how we think refs control games, and I didn't hear it, so that's why I texted. Well, then don't text. If you didn't hear it, don't text.
I had some jag butt into the middle of a Twitter conversation the other day about someone wanting to know what the odds would be for both the Bruins and Celtics to win the championship. And I heard Joe on with Touch and Rich say something like, oh, I don't know, you can't, you know, really bet that, but it's probably be like 40-1 if you get someone to like take that action for them both to win, right? And some guy butts in the middle of it.
Will someone allow you to parlay future bets?
Yeah. And I have no idea. And this is why I've all but decided to stop discussing gambling altogether, because there are going to be so many freaking experts. When there already are.
Lipschitz.
Well, and
Murray.
I like Dan and I like
Joe.
And I like their show, and it's fun to listen to. But the fact is, if anybody were an expert at gambling, they wouldn't be talking about it. They'd just be doing their gambling and living up in a mansion somewhere. Our good buddy RJ Bell included. Yeah. I include everybody in that.
We have a lot of fun with all these guys.
People want to ask me, it's like, Hardy, you lived in Vegas. You gamble all the time. What do you recommend? Don't gamble. The best gambling tip I can give
is
don't do it.
Do less of it.
Don't
that town and everything about gambling is the business is not built on winners. The only winner is the book or the house. That's it. This guy butts in the middle of it, starts talking about this stuff, and then it's about the horse racing thing. Oh, my God, did I get an earful from the Kentucky Derby people? Is there a bigger, douchier group of people that people get all into the horse racing?
I just relax.
Oh, it's about the horses.
Still haven't heard from Ken and Lowell.
Ken and Lowell and my buddy Steve in Salem. The only two guys I can stomach having them talk about horse racing.
And Noomi.
Everyone else seems...
Noomi. Noomi's awesome.
Noomi is the best. But none of those guys,
Ken,
my buddy Steve, Noomi, none of them are about taking pictures in their Nantucket Red with the goofy hat and the mint julep in front of the racetrack, acting like you got enough money to own one of those horses. Go away. Shut up. I'm not interested. I'm really not. Oh, there's no so much about it, handicapping the horses. No, there's a few guys who know. Numi might be the only guy who really, really knows what he's talking about. And even Numi will say, nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. You can get an edge. You got to study, though. You got to be into it. And then maybe it requires, it's gambling. If it were a sure thing, it wouldn't be gambling. Oh, my God, the horse racing people this week, insufferable. I'm going to tune it all out. I'm going to purposely step away from that stupid two-minute race TV, and not watch any of it.
TV's even calling out Ken right now.
Where's Ken? Where are
Where
you,
Ken? Where is Ken?
Starting to worry.
Yeah.
And when you end up like, when Touch and Rich, they were looking for Chili Guy, and I guess he had passed. I felt bad trying to call him out. Like, where are you, man? And they end up getting some information.
We might have to, you know what?
I'm worried
this
about
This is
Ken.
It. It's Friday. The Derby's tomorrow. We have Ken's number. We should call him.
Oh, way to drop that on us now.
The producers know that I got. Where do you think I got his number from months ago?
Let's
from
give him a call.
Our producers.
Let's try and give him a call. See if we can get on that.
Don't do it to Jim on the fly. He doesn't like that. We'll talk.
No, I'm not. We don't need to do it right now.
Is it on a rundown?
See the look he just gave you?
I'm just saying today we have an hour and 15 rundown? Minutes left in the show.
Still doesn't like it.
We have time left to
stop talking about
sort
it.
Of make that happen.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Talk about it during the break.
Pete's in Ohio. What's up, Pete? You a Blue Jackets fan?
No, I'm a Bruins fan. I talked to you guys before about this. Hey, that bad no call on the net. A couple things here. The Blue Jackets are making me a fan. However, obviously, I love the Bruins. I love Tortorella.
They're fun to watch, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They are. They're a tough team. Tell me what that they couldn't review the puck into the safety net. I don't understand that. Even the national TV guys were talking about that, saying that should have been a disallowed goal.
Yeah, it's sort of stupid the way it's written that they don't allow a review of that.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. You know, it's got to be instantaneous that somebody sees it.
The only
nobody
way
nobody sees it.
The way it's written in the rule book, the only way they allow a review of that play is if the puck goes from the netting right off the netting into the net, that being the goal, from the netting into the goal, or from the netting to a player who then immediately scores. So it bounces off the net to a player who then shoots on goal and scores. That's it. If there's one single pass made, it's null and void, no longer reviewable.
Well, Tuca was throwing a shutout last night, and I don't know. It kind of missed me that they allowed that goal, because that guy, he'll win us the title, hopefully. He'll win us the cup the way he's playing. I'm frustrated with our offense, you know, our first-line offense trying to get a goal. But in any event, hey, other thing, have any of you guys ever been to the Derby?
No.
But I'd love to.
Nope.
You can't knock it until you go. I had a friend of mine take me down.
Who's knocking
and,
it?
No,
well, Hardy is. Hardy. I mean,
Hardy's knocking the gambling aspect.
Here's the thing. I don't drink. I'm not going to go up there and like stand around 4 hours for a two-minute race. I don't care.
The rest of us do.
I'll do it.
Yeah,
I don't care anything about a horse race. I don't care anything about a horse's race.
Looks like a fabulous party.
I'd buy a $3,000 outfit for it.
Well, that's you.
That's you. You love playing dress up. Something
he does.
Wrong with
there
you.
There is something about Zelda. Yeah, he likes playing
sending us all pictures of himself playing dress up.
You don't like
your white
But
jeans.
Here's the thing. He says, I'd have a $3,000 outfit. He wouldn't pay for it.
Right.
He'd go to Mr. Sid. They'd outfit him with the outfit.
Hey, Barry,
he wouldn't pay for it. And then he'd go to the Derby.
Right.
Go play dress up. We never did the guest list for Tom Brady's party that he's attending. We should do that today, too.
Okay. Should we?
Yeah, just a few of the names.
Let's do it next segment.
Should we?
It's a bad look on him.
I don't think we should do that.
It's a bad look on him?
I'll do it tomorrow morning on the golf show.
Oh.
You don't want to do it.
No, we can do it.
It'll take two minutes.
I don't think we should do it next. I have some more thoughts on the Bruins and Brandon Carlo and the things that he said this week about breaking through on the goaltender. And, yeah, you know, there was a Bruins game last night. It's a playoff game. There's another one tonight at the Garden for the Celtics. And there's actual sports things going on.
Guess he told us.
Yep. Action update. Guys in the desert. Hardy's advice, don't gamble.
It's good.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
He's definitely going to crack at some point. I have a lot of faith that we're going to start putting pucks past him here pretty soon. So credit to him today, but overall, I don't think it's going to last.
McAvoy along the near side. Fires. They score! David Pastrnak whistled in a one-timer deep in the left circle. Got it by Bobrovsky to the high slot. Bergeron shoots. He scores! Patrice Bergeron wired one in from the high slot. It ripped over the glove hand. The Bruins with a power play goal lead it 2-0.
Then up top, here's Chara. Tees it up, looking for a bank. Out in front, it comes. Fired, they score!
The Ohio kid, Sean Corrali, celebrates, crashing into the far corner. He got a loose biscuit out in front and roofed it.
Here's circle Pastrnak, one-timer. Out in front, they score!
Pastrnak's one-timer, back down by Bergeron, buried by Bergeron. 4-1 lead, and they're heading for the exits here at Nationwide.
Did they break through last night? Did goalie Bob break down? Are we starting to see the cracks in the foundation with Sergei Bobrovsky? Have we seen a change in this series where the over-the-top, amazing goalie play is happening from the Bruins side and not the Columbus side?
Hopefully, yeah.
Certainly looked that way last night. By the way, Bobrovsky didn't play bad. Let's not say that. Yes, gave up 4 goals, but I don't think he played poorly, do you?
No, I didn't think he got smoked. Man, you had to earn those. It took you forever to get them, a couple of them, too. I just think the shots on goal, again, heavily favored, just the way the game felt, yeah, Columbus.
Your power play goals, that sort of helped.
I know, you got a lot of calls. Now, here's another thing, too. You think they're gonna bite the whistle a little more tomorrow night?
I don't know. It's something worth watching, but you're the Blue Jackets, based on the way it went last night, and the opportunities you got shorthanded, I heard John Tortorella post-game, sort of bemoaning, oh, we killed ourselves with penalties. And I guess you did. I guess you can look at the score sheet at the end of the night and say, yeah, all right. But
it's not like your power play was great.
You got opportunities.
They didn't get 3 power play goals.
You got chances when you were shorthanded.
You sure did. Sure did. You had a penalty shot.
That's all.
Yeah,
I mean, the Bruins. When you have, when you give up 2 power play goals, I get it. But
so Jim,
if the Bruins didn't have those 2 power play goals, they still win the game.
Yeah.
They're still winning the game. And you can make the case that last night, Columbus didn't even score a goal, right? They didn't even legally score a goal.
Should have been a shutout. Yeah.
It should have been a shutout. So was it really that you had penalties? And is the argument there that you were just spending too much time on the PK? But even when you were, you got good opportunities to score because of the Bruins. That's been a problem for the Bruins all year. They're aggressive on their power play. They give up opportunities going the other way. Obviously, Pastrnak was a problem on the power play last night. But you look at that game last night and you're like, I don't know. There were times you're like, oh, the Bruins should just decline the power play. Keep playing. Those chances, those bids that they had, shorthanded, Columbus, that is. I didn't feel like they were getting killed by power plays in that game.
No.
But John Tortorella did. He whined about it after the game. But Tuukka Rask was phenomenal. Oh, was he good last night? I wonder if that lasts, too. Does he play like that way? Does he play that way again tomorrow night?
Again, going back to what he said last week, it's, he's healthy. And he's gotten good rest and ready to go, and I think there have been years where, you dealt with the groin or whatever he had, and just hope he never gets the skids like he has a couple times, and in big spots.
Don't even bring that up. Why do you bring that up?
Because I got a letter from a guy at Bus Pub said, hey, nice job on the score prediction, 4-1. I'm like, oh, crap, that's where Tuca supposedly was the night before he got the skids that 1 year.
You know what?
I'm like, don't jinx it,
man.
You got
a letter? What did he do?
A nice little email.
Express mail it to you?
Here's wait, what a, wings on a house next time.
Here's I mean, what a fanboy yeah. short
telegram?
Memory.
Send me yeah, in a ripped envelope. No, he sent me an email.
Here's what a fanboy short memory I've turned into or acquired. I forgot about that.
It's going too well.
I forgot about him tapping out of the final regular season game. Was Olympics? That against Ottawa?
Yeah, how about the Olympics, right?
The Olympics, I couldn't. I mean, that didn't bother me.
It's kind of big.
It's bad for. I mean, it's bad for his Finland? Countrymen. Yeah,
that's big to them.
The players hate it. It's huge. It's huge for them. For me, that's, whatever. So well, you know, like he hung Finland out to dry.
It's not like you can tape it up. Put a cork in it or something.
Oh, he's had a couple. Oh, how dare you? How dare you bring that up, Sal?
It's just not the day for it.
It's not the day. I hadn't thought about it all postseason.
But the thing is, though, Hardy, the thing is, when you're talking about Tuukka Rask, whether you like Tuukka Rask or you don't like Tuukka Rask or whatever it is, wherever you stand on him in general,
yeah.
When you see a performance like you saw last night, we all universally agree.
Exciting.
Everybody agrees. Great individual game. Fabulous.
Yes.
Wow, what an effort. And we all sit here today and we all say, I have no idea if he'll do it again tomorrow night.
I don't say that.
I do. I have no idea.
He's been consistently good.
Oh, I think he'll be good, but I don't know if he can repeat that. That's a lot to ask.
11 games in the postseason.
Okay, and if he were to
11 games. What else do you need? He'll be good tomorrow night.
If he were to go out tomorrow night and he does what Zoe describes. Do that again. That's
too dry.
Would you be...
There you go.
Would you be completely stunned by it? Would you say, this is so uncharacteristic, this has never happened?
Oh, sorry, brother.
It hasn't happened this postseason.
No, it hasn't.
He hasn't had a stinker.
No, he has not.
Sorry.
No, he has not.
It would be uncharacteristic of this postseason, so I would be surprised.
But they got on a plane last night.
If he played if Tuukka Rask had a quote-unquote bad game tomorrow night, I would be shocked.
Scott's in Weymouth. Scott, go ahead.
What's up, guys? Hey. What's up? Boom, that's right. So, what's up, guys? Hey. I learned from last call what I can say. Yes.
What's up?
Oh, I thought he had a question. My bad.
No.
All right, yeah, they finally broke through that wall of Bobrovsky. Pucks were just finding him. Now the puck's finding the net. His puck luck is over. The Bruins aren't going to lose another game this series. Moving on to that Columbus first goal. That rule is the same rule that happened to them, I don't know, 2 months ago, where the stick above your shoulders, if it hits the puck and goes directly in the net, that is reviewable. However, if it hits your stick above your shoulders and goes on the ice and then someone shoots it in the net, it's unreviewable, non-reviewable, and it's a good goal, non-reviewable, even though the guy had his stick 5 inches above his shoulders. So that's what's up with that. Now, how to solve this problem? Very simple to me. There's no need to have the netting that tight like that, where it hits it, where it goes off it like it's glass. Loosen the netting.
It is erect, and it's straight up and down, man, like tight.
Right, it's ridiculous. So loosen the netting so when the puck hits it, it dies and drops down. And almost like, remember the backstop at Fenway, the ball goes up behind home plate and rolls down.
Low angle to it.
If it falls in the crowd, someone gets a souvenir. If it doesn't, they'll clean it up after. Easy solution. That's ridiculous. That could have cost them the game. Couple more quick comments, and thank you for the time.
You're welcome. Oh, you hung up on him?
I didn't know he had a few more comments. Well, I was already
prefaced it with it.
What he said,
a couple more comments.
Few more quick comments. Thank you for the time. And then you hang up on him.
I was already on the button, though.
He said verbatim what you said.
Yeah, he did.
Loosen up the nets.
Boom. Fenway.
Let him collect.
Souvenirs. I mentioned all of those points.
At the end of the night, you bring everybody down on the glass. Boom. You pull the net back. They fall down. It's like a pinata.
Correct.
Hey, everybody gets a puck.
Correct. Paul is in Littleton. Hi, Paul.
Hey, what are you telling me? Pasternak was not a factor last night? He figured in 50% of the scoring. How can you say he wasn't a factor?
Who said that?
I don't think anyone here said he wasn't a factor.
Yeah, you said that, Bertrand.
No, yeah, Bertrand.
Yes, I'm your show sucks.
Okay.
You suck.
Is he the same guy that listened intently again last week and yelled at us? Because we drive him crazy.
I don't know. There's a podcast that goes up after every hour. 98.5thesportsapp.com or download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. If you could just rewind and tell me when that was the case.
All right. But back to his point, how could you say he didn't
factor in? I never said that. I never said he wasn't a factor. In fact, I gave him the credit for that first goal being a big part of the night, because his first goal, which was a beauty and was a great play start to finish, because he took a huge hit before gathering himself, getting back up, getting in position to shoot the one-timer and score the goal. All of it was beautiful. And that goal was important to the Bruins last night. I mean, it should have been the game winner is what it should have been. And I thought the whole play was great. And I thought when I saw that, I'm like, he doesn't look like a guy who's hurt. Do hurt players make great plays like that? Like, he made a great play all the way around
hurt,
to make that goal happen.
Hurt is
busted
not
his ass there.
Yeah, you said that, Bertrand.
God, shut up. Nobody said that.
And it, and if it is...
Yeah, you said that.
No, I didn't.
And if it is hurt, it is... And again, we were theorizing about this, and it's just a lot of speculation, but it's almost like he's lacking some sensation in the hands, almost like they're shooting up the hands. And it's like, it makes sense. You see the puck coming across for the one-timer. That's timing. That's gripping the stick. That's just firing and having that thing, you know, make a connection and putting it on target. Totally different from skating with your head up, looking at the goal, looking for the pass, and assuming that the puck is on your stick, but with a little lack of feeling in the hands, that might account for it. A total, total speculation, but I guess that would still qualify and classify as being quote unquote hurt, but not in the way we were thinking. Yeah. We were thinking lower body. We were thinking this wasn't a thumb thing anymore. The way he was moving out there,
right.
We were thinking lower body. It doesn't appear to be lower body.
And so the first goal is important last night because it sets the tone early. It gets the ball rolling for the Bruins. They're playing with confidence, all that stuff early. That's an important goal.
Chris.
So don't minimize that one goal. But after that one goal, he had a lot of things go wrong in his night. And obviously, I mean, we're pointing out the obvious with his issues on the power play. Guy was a wreck for much of the night. A wreck. And I put a lot of that on his coach for putting him in a position to fail for much of that night. Bruce Cassidy is going to let him play through that. Now, he didn't say he's going to let him play through it up top and let him play on the point on the power play and let him play through that part of it. But if he's going to continue that, what are you doing, Bruce? Bruce, help the guy out, please. The part about him getting his hand shot up does make sense. That might have been why he didn't realize he didn't even have the puck on his stick at one point. That's that one highlight that you
pointed
to from that
thing too.
What
said
was that?
Part of it could be a comfort thing, too, for him. You know, like, what's comfort? That physical.
You did say that.
Dealing with pain. You're such a dick.
Yeah, Bertrand!
Hardy has headlines. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
Krug holds it in. Now it's stolen away, and it's Boone Jenner shorthanded. Marchand is up the ice with him and takes him off the puck and commits a penalty in the process. Penalty shot, Bob.
Nice job, T-Bone.
Bob.
617-779-0985. That's my son, Bob.
T-Bone's getting pretty creative with those.
Yeah, he is. Creative guy. Did you see his videos last night that we were posting on Twitter?
The one I put the corn maze thing. The guy trying to get on the corn.
I had no idea.
Corn Henge, I'm sorry.
You can give each of us a follow on Twitter. At Scott Zolak, at @Mark_Bertrand on Twitter.
The Felger video.
I had no idea what it was. I had no idea when the clip was taken from.
Doesn't matter.
I didn't know it was from yesterday's show.
It's perfect.
He was celebrating and reenacting whoever the old guy was walking out of the Orchids of Asia doing the touchdown Jesus celebration, finding out there was a early bird special before 1 p.m. Classic. Absolutely classic.
There was one evening in question where a group of approximately 8 males got off of a golf cart, walked into the establishment, came back outside, did sort of a, and I'll use the analogy here, touchdown Jesus.
Yes! Yes! Early bird! Right, that's what it is.
Did his hands and then walked back inside. So at that point, I understood that this was not just a regular massage parlor, but one that was an illicit massage business.
Half
had
price!
A early bird special.
Half price, everybody! That's what it was.
You need that stuff in Florida. I mean, that's like the two-for-ones. They got a lot of bars. Happy hour.
Early bird. Happy hour.
A lot of blue plate specials down there with the white hair.
They got shoe shots. They got shoe shots, everyone. Let's go back to your calls. Thanks for hanging on. Jim is in Marshfield. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
About that play with the puck in the net last night. I didn't know that rule till they explained it last night, but my son sent me a text after the game. I guess the same thing happened with Boston and Columbus back in 2014, where in this case, Boston's hit into the net, and for the next 2 minutes, Jack Edwards was just going like, all this play doesn't count. Columbus scores, and then they go to line up for the faceoff, and Jack Edwards just loses his mind. And it's actually pretty funny. I laughed pretty hard listening to it, but the same thing happened, and that's what you said, was that you're trying to avoid that 2 minutes of play and those types of things. And the rule makes sense. I just think they could do something with the nets, like everybody's been saying.
Yeah. For those, I mean, you know, it doesn't happen often enough that I think it's like a major problem. And how often do you see this happen?
You don't.
I mean, I think it's amazing that it's ever happened in the history of the Bruins. And as he said, it happened back in 2014. When Jack Edwards lost his mind, it was December 27th, 2014 was the date. It also happened to be in a game against Columbus at Columbus. Maybe it's a net problem there.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. Like when they do the arena shots, man, that net, it's different color than some other arenas. You just see the net. It's like stands out. That thing is tight and up top. Maybe they need to back it off. What's the rule?
Maybe that's exactly what it is. The net there is a problem.
Almost like it hangs over the ice.
It's just too tight to the glass there.
Yeah. It's like a birdcage.
What are you laughing at?
It's like a birdcage analogy.
Oh.
Too taut.
Too taut.
Taut.
It's taut.
Too taut.
Paul in Grafton. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Beetle.
Hi.
Jim, hi.
Hey.
What up, 16?
Hey.
Hey, on that goal, you know, when do you see a puck just sitting there? I mean, it's playoff hockey. It's going to hit the board. It's going to hit the glass. The puck's going to be moving. It's not just going to sit there. Those refs really screwed that up. If they can't see that, they're blind. I mean, look at McAvoy. He's looking up in the sky looking for the puck. It was totally, totally in the net. You could see it move, you know? And
yeah.
Cassidy likes that coil line, huh? They got a lot of minutes last night. They probably got more than the Bergeron line. And that team's going to go as far as Bergeron and Tuca takes them. And, Mark, by the way, tomorrow it's maximum security, buddy, all the way.
Okay, maximum security is Paul and Grafton's pick. Keep an eye on that. Maximum security.
That's
still
a hot one, huh?
Did we look up Ken's number? Did we go in the Rolodex back there and get his number?
Tom's got it.
Oh, he does? Call him next hour.
T-Bone's got it.
Zoe's going to take off. He's got to depart. Zoe's got to go catch a flight. So he's going to leave. So if you're over at Logan, get ready for Hurricane Zoe. He's coming through.
Get ready, JetBlue.
Yeah, Terminal C. Terminal C. If the Mass State Police are over there, keep an eye out for
Zoe. Love you guys.
He's coming through. He's got to catch a flight.
Yeah.
So keep an eye
out.
Nice,
you guys. Thank you.
No problem.
Nice.
But Hardy and I will finish strong for Zoe.
3-1 Bruins tomorrow night.
We'll do
3-1.
We'll do it for Zoe. So, Zoe, we'll catch you Monday.
Thanks. See you guys.
Let's go
Bs. Let's go Cs tonight.
All right. We'll pick it up on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
First, our introduction.
Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the sports hub.
Jones sends it toward the net and it tipped off a stick and it went high and it winds up over the glass and out of play. Nobody knows where it is. Thought it hit the netting and here's a shot to score, but I think that's going to come off the board. Did it hit the netting, Jody?
I don't know. I thought it did, but I'm not sure. Everybody stopped for the Bruins. Tuukka Rask didn't know where the puck was. It was to his left sitting there, and the Blue Jackets kept playing. So interesting here to see what happened. I don't think it hit the net, but it's off the blocker. I don't know. I think it might have hit the netting.
Didn't hit the netting?
It definitely went up off his blocker into the air. No one could find it. And McAvoy, as he finally found that it was at the back of his skates.
Well, they're talking about it. John LeGrandpierre says it angled down off the glass. He doesn't think it hit the net. And they're going to let it count. And I will gladly have the worst goal call of my career and have it count. I'm good with that.
Take that and rewind it back.
Huh? What do you get to say about that one?
Those guys knew it. Columbus Radio knew it. Our crew knew it. They called it right away. Both radio calls. Puck is up and out of play off the net.
I've seen more replays of it since we were talking about it. There were Columbus players who skated away from the play. I'm like, oh, that's dead puck.
The Bruins really didn't know where it was.
No.
They didn't know.
No. No, the fact that the first person to see it drop down onto the ice was a Blue Jacket doesn't do anything to change what it was, which was a dead puck. It was up into the net. So they missed it. You can't review it. Get over it.
Emails.
I mean, I'm not pissed about it. Some people are so pissed about this today. Like, well, number one, it didn't factor in. And number two, it's a goal. It's a goal. And there have been worse calls on the offside thing. I feel that you could be mad about more so than this one. You know, play to the whistle. It's an old adage, but it kind of makes sense here. There was no whistle.
Right. It looks like the Bruins didn't know. So what is the Bruins' excuse for quitting on the play if they didn't know it was up over the
literally
glass?
Didn't know where the puck was and just assumed, well, it's only going to be another instant or two until this thing is whistled dead. Bad assumption to make.
Emails. This one says, Beetle, I ref in a pro hockey league. The players will generally throw their hands up as a way to signal that the puck left the playing surface. Oh. Pucks out of play is the responsibility of the linesman. Being out at center ice and seeing a 3-inch puck that blends in with all the fans in the background, and not to mention the black netting, is extremely difficult. It is honestly amazing that this sort of thing doesn't happen more. It's completely absurd that we can review an offside that happened minutes prior if a team establishes in-zone possession and scores, but a puck out of play that is passed one time and ends up in the back of the net can't be. We've all pointed that out today. That is crazy. But I would also say that we all sort of hate the offsides review, too. We all sort of can't stand that.
I hate that one even more.
And he gets to that, this on-ice official. He says, I have a feeling that this will be amended in the offseason. If I had it my way, the only review would be if the puck crossed the line into the goal and or if it beat the clock on its way in. Let's hold the officials accountable and make them make the calls in real time. Sometimes less is more. Like the teams, officials make mistakes. The better teams make less mistakes than the lesser teams, and the same can be said for officials. The human element is what makes sports great, and we are losing that. And then he says, if you read this on the air, don't use my name. I'd be in big trouble with the league. Regards. And I will then call him, this emailer, he who shall not be named.
Okay.
So that is him advocating for, no, don't review that, and then don't review the other stuff. And I would say at least that's consistent, because if you see the absurdity of reviewing the offsides, then you then can't advocate for reviewing this play last night. You've got to be all in or all out.
Right.
So if you're out on reviewing the offsides, you should be out on last night too.
And based on the way it's gone with reviewing offsides, I'm out on that. So just...
So am I.
Make them both be out. If the only thing you're going to review, and I had no problem with the only thing that was reviewable were goal calls. You know, did it cross the line? Did it cross over?
Is it in or not?
Did it go in? And if that's the only thing they review, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but is there a sensor you can put in the puck?
A sensor.
Is there a sense?
How ridiculous is it that, oh, you know what? And I know he didn't say rely, but essentially we rely on the players to put their hands up in the air and let us know that the puck hit the net. What?
I think he may have been responding to an earlier caller who was asking us. Remember the guy who called was asking, did the players point up?
Right.
And he's saying why that happens a lot of times is because they know that it's hard for officials to see. They know that it many times isn't called, which is why they throw their hands up.
They're watching the players more so than the puck.
Right.
Okay.
So I think he's explaining. I don't think he's trying to make an excuse for anybody. As he said, hold them accountable for getting it wrong. Speaking of callers, we did have a caller last segment who mentioned that in 2014, this happened in a game between the Bruins and the Columbus Blue Jackets in Columbus. I think it was a 4-2 game at the time, and with a goal, it became 5-2. So it didn't have a impact on who was winning and who was losing the game. But it was a regular season game at the end of December. It was on Nesson, and Jack Edwards, during the course of play, had assumed, because it had gone off the net, that it would be reviewable, and if it were to go in, would then come back like an offsides call. He then found out what Judd Surratt found out last night, which is that it's not reviewable, like we all found out last night. It's not reviewable, and then Jack Edwards lost his mind.
Lucci takes a hit. Cunningham gets thrown off the puck. It won't count. It is not going to count. Matt Calder rifles it in. But if what they told us in September holds, when this puck hit the netting above Curtis McElhinney, the play stopped and they'll wind it all the way back. You see the officials at the center circle. Now they're lining up as if they're going to drop the puck. This is utterly ridiculous. Toronto's supposed to get the what? Watch the puck. Here it goes. This is out of play. It's the netting. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable that the National Hockey League has let this happen. This is the exact situation they illustrated.
Wow.
That's the shortened version, but you get the idea. Jack had a lot to say on the topic back in 2014.
Same building.
Same place.
Wow.
What's with the netting there?
It's
This is unbelievable.
Too taut or not taut enough?
Too taut. Too taut.
Mm-hmm. Too taut.
Very much so.
How often do they get stuck up there, though? Or does it just goes up and doesn't come down?
No, it bounces back.
Well, I'm saying that in other arenas, though, if you're saying it's too taut, then in other arenas, they just stay up there?
That's a good question. I haven't given it a lot of thought.
Neither have I. Never thought we'd have to discuss it in this much detail. You know what? We don't even have to today because it didn't factor in, but people are still pissed about it.
People are very much upset about this.
It's the precedent. It's just the precedent. And most of these games end up hinging on a goal. Even when the outcome was a three-goal difference, there's that one goal. Last night, it was the third goal. That was the difference maker.
Well, it's because
that was
this league
goal.
Has subjected you to an insane amount of review. And for all the review they subject you to, you can't believe that that one's not reviewable.
But there's also...
That's what it comes down to.
There's a tremendous amount of parity in the league, too. I mean, you've got eight seeds knocking off one seeds. There's a lot of tight games. You know, we're not talking about blowouts here where, it might happen, but how often does one goal really make a difference? All the time! All the time! That's why it needs to be addressed.
Quite often it makes a huge difference. Yeah. 617-779-0985. Let's do this. Hardy has the headlines. He'll get you covered. No commercials here. When we come back, we'll head to your phones. We've got full phone lines right now. As soon as someone drops off, you try and grab one.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Well, you're at work.
Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. The telephone number. Barked in final hours, Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe has departed for the day. So it's just Beadle and Hardy the rest of the way.
Now he's got a trip that he has to take, and you know, there's no place he'd rather be. However, if we do get to that seal story, he's going to be very upset.
He's going to be so...
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The telephone number. Barked in final hours, Zolak and Bertrand. Zoe has departed for the day. So it's just Beadle and Hardy the rest of the way.
Now he's got a trip that he has to take, and, you know, there's no place he'd rather be. However, if we do get to that seal story, he's going to be very upset.
He's going to be so mad.
We have a seal story.
He just got a seal story dropped in our lap that it's going to be hard to avoid.
Big segment on the Today Show this morning about sharks on Cape Cod. And they mentioned Clever Boy.
Clever Boy.
They mentioned the Clever Boy, and they mentioned the 911 call boxes. And they mentioned...
Well, that's only helpful after you get eaten by the shark.
The first aid kits, and they also mentioned this seal idea. We'll get to it.
It's important. It is. Let's go to Richie in North Quincy. Richie.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Beadle. Hey, Hardy.
Hey.
You know what's always baffled me is some of the arenas use the black netting, and some of the arenas use the white netting. Why don't they just switch it all and make it uniform? That way, they'll be able to pick up the puck better and problem solved.
I wonder if the white netting is more of an issue for spectators.
It blends in with whatever people are wearing, like hockey jerseys, or many times are white.
Just watching the game. If the white netting is somehow more intrusive to the eye than the black netting.
What does the Garden have? I don't even know.
Black, I believe.
Who notices that? I've never noticed it.
I don't know. You're a big.
You might notice if it's not so taut. By the way,
you're a big anti-net guy. I thought maybe you would have taken note of it before.
That's probably part of the reason it's so taut, is so that people can see easier through the netting, is my guess.
Slack netting is more difficult to see through?
Yeah. Well, absolutely.
It's not bunched up in a ball, Jim.
It's just slightly enough that you don't know. You don't, like Beatles said, you don't even notice it when you're sitting behind it.
Because of the tautness.
That's part of it, yeah.
Really?
Each of those individual holes in the net are a little bit bigger if you tighten it up as far as you can.
What did the holes in the net be determined by the size of the I guess manufacturing process of the net?
That has a lot to do with it, yes. But I understand what Jim is saying. You pull it taut, stretches it, bigger holes. Also, it doesn't require you to purchase as much netting. If you have a lot of taut net,
I've never done a study on it, but sags of
wasted, sags of wasted net all over the place. Netting's not
okay,
free, Beadle.
But it doesn't sag. It sags at the bottom. It would sag at the bottom. Is where it would sag.
Maybe you put weight.
So you have a little pouch at the bottom.
Yeah, that's where it would sag.
Right. Maybe you just put weights at the bottom, and that way you just kind of pull it down. It could still be taut up top, but then you've got a little pouch. A little protective weighted pouch at the base of the netting.
Mark in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Hardy, let me ask you a question.
Is it about protection?
Here we go with questions. We've had a lot of questions thrown at us.
Is it about a protective weighted pouch?
I want to know how you could sit there and say you're not pissed off about that call. I know they won 4-1, but at the time, that made the score 2-1. But let me ask you another question.
Yeah.
What if that decided the game, that goal? Would you be pissed off then?
Yeah, I'd be pissed, but I think in the overall scheme of things, there have been much more egregious calls, and they're generally of the you know, qualitative variety, judgment calls, whether it's...
No, I understand.
No,
here. The rule is stupid.
All right, you
the
want
rule
to,
is stupid.
All right, let's just gauge your anger. Let's gauge your anger, Mark. Had that game ended up being decided on that call, would you think you would be as pissed as the Vegas Golden Knight fans and how pissed they were at the major being called in the Game 7 of their playoff series, which San Jose went on to win that game? You know the call I'm talking about.
It still resulted in a power play goal, correct?
Right. Which would you be more pissed off about?
I would probably be as equally pissed.
No, there's no way. There's no way.
Why not?
Because there's degrees of anger at a bad, or in this case, a missed call. It wasn't a bad call. It was a missed call. And I just think instinctively I'm going to be a little less angry about a missed call than I am a bad call.
How could four guys with striped shirts on that ice not see that?
We were just talking about it, Mark, because they're watching the players. They're not watching the puck. The players watch the puck. The refs watch the players.
Well,
I'm with you, Mark. There should be some accountability for those officials. How do you miss that?
The rule is stupid. Out of play is out of play.
Of course. It needs to be changed. That rule needs to be changed. But how can you be pissed off? They still won. I'm not that angry. I'm not going to manufacture anger. Are you angry about it being?
No, because they won 4-1. Now I'm with Mark though. You know, had it determined the game, which it didn't. Yeah, I'd be a lot more mad about it.
Yeah, I would be more incredulous.
I'm thankful it didn't matter.
I'd be incredulous at the stupidity of the rule that doesn't allow that to be reviewed or called back, because you've got that nonsensical offside business where a puck can be in the zone for 20, 30, an indefinite amount of time. Really. I mean, we saw a power play from the Blue Jackets in Game 3 where they got the puck into the zone and kept it in there for virtually the entire 2 minutes. Had they put that puck into the zone and were offside in the process and then scored at the very end of it, the Bruins would have had a legitimate reason and cause to, and they would have been proven correct in challenging that goal and having it called back after they possessed the puck in the zone for 2 full minutes after they were offside bringing it in. To me, that's the kind of silliness that this is about. It doesn't spark anger in me. It's more of like a head scratching. Why the hell does that rule exist the way it does? And we talked about it earlier, and you said something to the effect of, well, if the puck does land and then it ends up going down to the other end of the ice, and then it's like it's completely unrelated to the puck coming back into play, how do you then go back and really say that it had to do with the puck coming off the net and some players not knowing where it is? Okay, I get that portion of it, but there's got to be a middle ground there. Or just get rid of review altogether except for goals.
Alan is in Columbus today. Alan, what do you have for us?
Hey, guys, just to add to this whole thing, some insights on the nets in Columbus. I'm here in Columbus, and when the arena first opened in the early 2000s, there weren't any nets. Sadly, a young girl had got a head injury from a puck hit, and she died. And the nets went up, you know, pretty shortly after. So don't know if the nets in Columbus are any different than other arenas. We do know the name on the building is an insurance company, so something to think about.
Yeah, nobody is suggesting.
Didn't they mandate the nets after that girl in Tampa? There a girl in Tampa that got hit by a puck?
I don't know what town it was in, but I know there was a girl. I know that somebody was killed by a puck.
Yeah.
Somebody ended up dying over it. And even you, with your anti-net stance at Fenway Park, would agree that nets are at Fenway, you would agree that nets are a good idea when that's in play. For some reason, you still have an issue with the Fenway nets.
No, I had that wrong. It was Columbus, 2002.
It wasn't Columbus.
Yeah, right. First and only fatality in the NHL's 100-year history.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a Lightning fan. That's what it was.
There was a Lightning fan at a Columbus Blue Jackets game? How was there a Tampa Bay Lightning fan in attendance?
Oh, no, this is something else. This is another one. This is a fan.
Okay.
A Lightning fan who was struck.
All right.
Yeah.
Still happens.
Columbus, 13-year-old girl.
The pucks still flutter over.
They didn't have nets then? How long have the nets been there?
Maybe they weren't mandatory. Maybe
this is like a recent thing. This is like within, 15 years or so.
Really?
Or maybe a little longer, 16,
I just always sort of remember them being there.
What's the spec on the tautness of the nets?
Has anyone, you know, inspected those nets.
How do you determine tautness?
Listen, no one's saying there's not a debate about whether or not there should be nets there.
No, not even you.
Not even me. And you know me, I'm a pretty much an anti-net guy.
Yes. How defenseless women and children being hit in the face from baseballs, bats, whatever.
Even you can admit the nets at Fenway go too far.
No.
Have you seen how far they go?
Yeah.
How far down the lines they go?
Don't bother me.
Oh.
Doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Overdid it. Hmm. Next, it will be like those ballparks in Japan where it goes all the way around the entire field. Whole field. All the way around.
Well, then they have the people running around the hard hats and the whistles, too, to alert you. I would like that job.
Of course you would.
Would we get pith helmets? You know, like the old desert helmets?
We have not been able to locate Kenan Lowell.
What do you mean?
He's not picking up his phone.
Not good enough.
So we've tried to publicly page him through this radio thing we've got going on. Television show.
We put the
word out.
The graphic up.
We've called him.
Where are you, Ken and Lowell? It's up there on the graphic right now.
And please call us. And we can't find him. So we don't know where he is.
I hope everything's okay. Tom, could you please call Cappy's Copper Kettle? Just see if Ken's there.
Yeah, check in.
He doesn't appear to be grabbing the phone.
Try him again. Try him one more. Did it go to voicemail? Does he have a voicemail? Can you leave him a message?
No voicemail the first time.
No voicemail. Yeah. Just what does it say?
It's literally a phone that rings off the hook in a house.
It just continues to ring.
Or in a room.
Tom's trying again.
Okay, good.
He's probably not picking up. Probably thinks it's some sort of scam.
It's not a scam. We just won his derby pick.
What's going on back there?
He went straight to voicemail that time.
Oh, okay.
But it was like an automated voicemail.
All right, that's okay. As long as we can leave a message.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Let him know. Maybe give him an inside number to call us back. We'll get it going. We need to know his Kentucky Derby pick. 617-779-0985.
We're going to do the seal story?
I want to.
We need to.
Okay, we'll do it next.
All right.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.